We're going to take your calls next with Mariel Ford Clark. Her book is called Where After. She is in Ireland. You are wherever you are around the world, and we'll get to you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Mariel Ford Clark with us. The name of her book is called Where After. And Mariel, where do we get your book? Where do folks get it?
George, the book is available from 6 books in John Hunt Publishing. It's available on all Amazon sites globally. It's also in Kindle, and it's in the major, all major bookstores.
Great.
Since the 1st of September.
Super. Now tell us about this Akashic Records or Life Review that I'm assuming you went through when you passed on to the other side for a while.
Funnily enough, George, as I said, while there are huge commonalities in, on near-death experiences, not all of them have the same content.
Right.
While we have commonalities, not all have the same content. I didn't have a life review, say, like Anita Morjani, who had a huge life review where she was told why she got ill and what she needed to do to step into her freedom after she was healed. Dr. Ivan Alexander as well, when he was writing Proof of Heaven, he was shown on the other side where he needed, he was shown Proof of Heaven. Because he didn't believe in it. He was a neurologist, a neurosurgeon, and he didn't believe in anything, like myself at the time when I was into my science studies. You know, so these people, they were given proof of heaven, whereas I suppose for me, I've always believed in a heaven. I've always felt a presence around me. I have felt a God presence always guiding me and overlighting me and saving me. And you know, that life review is very important for people because it's like it's your balance sheet. From what I understand from the spirit world and from the information I have received, the life review is your balance sheet. It's the records of all the good you have done, all your good deeds, your gentle acts of kindness, the love you've shown. And the other side of it then is you're shown the things that the words, the wrongdoings that you did to others and how it impacted on other people's lives. So it is so important. And what I have really, really understood, the more love we can show to our fellow human beings, the easier it is for us to graduate on that ascension ladder that we spoke about earlier in the heavenly plane. The life review show, it's like I would have had clients that would have said, oh, my God, everything just flashed before my eyes. I saw everything. I saw where I went wrong. I saw when I kicked the dog. I saw where I tried to be funny with somebody and made fool of them in public. You know, so they see the wrongdoings. You're shown, it's like a big screen comes before you. Now, I have seen my life review since, George, through my meditation and out-of-body experiences, which I would often have. And my life review keeps kind of imprinting on me how to be better, how to deal with certain situations, how to be a more loving presence and use my gifts wisely and to use them with humbleness rather than with conceitedness. And which is something I tend to do anyway. I would use everything I have with humbleness. So this life review is very important. And people, you know, somebody would say to me in my classes or workshops, you know, and is God going to judge me now for all the wrongdoings? God never judges. We are the judge and jury of our own actions while we're here on earth. And it's up to us to correct them. And that's why so many people choose to reincarnate and to come back to correct and right the wrongs that they have done because they've been shown their life review. And also the life review, you know, when you're shown it, it's like then that's when you're at your optimum spiritual level of spiritual awareness. You have something has awakened in you and you say, oh, my God, I was cruel there. I was horrible. I just wanted to make money. I just wanted to buy a fast car. I just wanted to have the fancy house. I just wanted to have two holidays in the Riviera. So all of those things, when you have your life review, it actually really means nada at the end of the day. Because when we cross over and when we are presented with our life review, it's not going to be how many cars we have in the driveway. It's not going to be how many holidays we had. It's about how we treated our fellow human being and did we treat them with love and kindness. And it's funnily enough, this love is so important, because even Einstein, even in his later work, he believed in a God presence, and he believed in that love was the best energy of all. And even he said, instead of using, you know, E equaling MC squared, if instead we use love and multiply that by the speed of light squared, we'd end up with the most limitless power in the universe, which would be and is love and should be love. And most people who have had life reviews, even those that I have researched, not just from my own experience with clients, but they have said that the most powerful lesson that we need to learn is all about love, showing love, giving love, and being the love.
And why is forgiveness so important?
Well, I suppose forgiveness is multifaceted as well, George. Forgiveness is, for me, I understood what forgiveness was and is. For others, people think if you forgive somebody for abusing you, or if you forgive somebody for causing you serious harm, either mentally, physically, or emotionally, that if you forgive them, it's like, you know, you're holding on. You're forgiving what they did. It's not about condoning what they have done. It's, and I say this with some of my survivors of rape and sexual abuse. They only set themselves free when they learn to forgive. And in forgiving, they are setting themselves free. The forgiveness process is a gift you give to yourself. Because otherwise, you remain the victim of their circumstances. And I have some lovely stories, George, in the book, where, you know, going back to Eva Moses-Kohr, she was one of the twins that survived the Auschwitz concentration camp. That time, in World War II, over 3,000 twins were in the concentration camps, and the angel of death, as we all know, Mengele, he performed dreadful.
Oh, horrible.
And sometimes I think, George, we forget that these things did happen, and they were gross, and they were vile, and they were not of God light. They were definitely of the dark energies. But he carried out dreadful experiments on those twins. Very, very few survived. Eva Kohr, she was one of the survivors with her twin sister. But it took her 50 years. 50 years later, when they were celebrating the liberation of the concentration camp in Auschwitz, she stood there beside the gas chamber and the crematorium, and she stood there and she read out a letter of forgiveness. And she said that was the day that she finally had set herself free. And whatever bit of life was left in her, she was going to live it to the fullest. So, and there's other stories of forgiveness as well, like Nelson Mandela, bless him. And the day he was, and it's documented, well documented, the day he was leaving his prison. And he said, as I stand on the doorway of my freedom, he said, I realize that if I bring all of this anger and resentment and hatred with me, I might as well stay in prison.
Yep.
So there are. It's about liberation yourself. Forgiveness is a gift, and there is nothing as sweet as to forgive another person. And it's about you let go of the attachment. You're no longer connected in your mind or in your heart or in your soul or in your body. Forgiveness is a gift, as I say. You give it to yourself, and it's very liberating. And you release yourself from the mentality of victim, and you reach to the side, the other pendulum, where you are victorious in yourself and in your life. so that nobody still has the power to control you, if that makes sense, George.
It sure does. And how does this also, and then we'll take your calls here, Marielle, as they're lining up for you, how does this help solve grief for people?
Okay, the grief is what I have found when I'm dealing with the dying. I'd be called a spiritual midwife, so I have been humbled to be at the deathbed of many people, young and old. And I suppose one of the biggest things I have found is the regrets that the dying have. They regret that they didn't travel the world. They regret that they didn't forgive a sibling. They regret that they should have done more with their lives. They regret that they didn't spend more time with family and loved ones. They regret that work was their obsession and their possession. And the regrets of the dying is a huge awakening for me as a person, and I try to include that in Whereafter. Forgiveness then for the dying. When there was one particular, if I may say, have I time, George, to give an example?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. But one of my oldest clients who used to attend my workshop, he was in his mid-70s, and an amazing guy. Now, he was reared extremely Catholic, but he still loved my night classes because I was talking about the spiritual awakening, angels, spirit guides, and the other side. And he rang me one day and he said, Marielle, he says, I'm in a bit of bother. And he says, can I see you? So he arrives into my healing room and he tells me he has about 6 months to live. He was diagnosed with severe pancreatic cancer. And he wanted me to assist him. So when I was working with him, I discovered that he was holding a 50-year grudge with a member of his family. This man was promised the land. In Ireland, George, the land is a blessing. There have been many films about the land. So his father, normally in Ireland at that stage, you just go to the oldest son. And my client was the second son. And the oldest son had no regard for the land, had no regard for the earth. And my client, you know, said that he worked his socks off, and he said he was leaving. So he was going out the gate. He had bought his ticket for the boat that time, and with his few belongings in a case. And his father stopped them at the gate, and he said, "Please don't go." He says, "What will happen me? What will happen the land?" And my client said to the father, "Well, if you sign the land over to me," he said, "I will make it work for all of us." And sadly, 15 years later, the land was not signed over to my client. And here we are, fast forward 50 years later, and I take him on a journey to the inner plains. I take my client on a journey so that he would not be afraid to die. And during the visualization, where I was guided by his angels and guides, of course, and I always have to ask permission of the soul if it's okay, I knew he was between the two worlds. I knew by him. I just knew his soul was out in the heavenly realm and that he was receiving information. So after some time, after a long time, he kind of woke out of his meditative state, and he put his hands up over his shoulder and he said, "Christ, Marielle," he said, "I've been to the most amazing place." And he said, "I met my father. And he has said he was sorry. Sorry for the damage he did me. Sorry for leaving me penniless." And he asked for forgiveness. And he also asked me to forgive my brother before I pass on. So that was a huge thing. And this beautiful soul, he did make peace with his brother just weeks before he died. And I suppose the whole thing was, if we forgive on this earth plane, it's easier for the soul to leave the body, because if we hold on to anger and bitterness, we don't need to bring this with us. It's much easier to offload. It's like taking off a very, very heavy overcoat for winter and putting on a nice cardigan or jumper. We need to have a lighter body when we're crossing over, because it's much easier. And to leave the anguish and the bitterness behind us is a huge part of our ascension process. So forgiveness for me, is integral, not alone when we're crossing over, but forgiveness is huge while we're still on this earth plane.
Let's go to the phones now. East of the Rockies, Joe, Long Island, New York, gets us started. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Mario. A couple of questions. First, you spoke about humbly using your gifts. Then you spoke of people coming back with a specific gift for music. I'm wondering if that was a new gift or a dormant gift that they just never used and were kind of wasting. My second question would be about Mother Mary. I know Paul McCartney had written a song. It might have been about his mother. It might have been also about Mother Mary. But you had an encounter you wanted to keep private. But did that encounter lead you to a different view or relationship with Mary, or did it stay about the same?
Thank you so much for that question. And Mother Mary, while she came to me when I was very young, at 15, my relationship with Mother Mary has excelled and deepened at a much, much higher level than I could even imagine. As I am growing more soulfully here on this earth plane, my relationship with God, my relationship with Mother Mary and the Ascended Masters that are working with me is deepening. And yes, I was afraid to tell anybody, but I always had, my family used to think I was very different anyway. And I come from a family where my grandmother on my father's side was extremely gifted and extremely psychic. But in those days, you hid it as well for fear of condemnation. And she had a seventh son of a seventh son. So it meant that my uncle was extremely gifted with healing modalities as well. And my brother, who went into the light at the age of 36, he also was extremely psychic and gifted. And so you could say that it wasn't something new to me. It was something I was reared with. It was something I was familiar with. But above all my siblings in the family, I'm the one that, apart from my brother that has passed on, I am the one that has cultivated the gift and the psychic abilities. And it is coming, as I said earlier in the program, coming from having a scientific background, really challenged me to move into my soul essence and to move into the more spiritual aspect of me. Because I realize now that I'm just, the physical body is just a vessel that my soul is using to move me around and drive me around while I'm here on earth. And this physical body will be, it's the vehicle, but it will be returned to the earth or returned to the fire when my soul decides it's time for it to exit. And going back then to what you were saying about people that awaken from their near-death experiences with certain gifts, sometimes we are, the music is in us, but we have never tapped into it. But it's because it was, I firmly believe from my guides that this gift, it was gifts that we already had in previous lifetimes and had forgotten about the gift of music.
That's a good point. Mario, we're going to come back and wrap things up with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with final calls with Mario Ford Clark as we talk about her work, Where After, about the other side. On our next Coast to Coast program, my guest Mark Albert will join us to talk about some real science, followed by those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines, so don't miss the program. And welcome back to our final segment with Mario Ford Clark. We'll take your calls as well. Mario, I want to make sure you had finished up with Joe's second question about the gift of music or the gift at all that you might pick up. But you were also saying that it's inherent that it might already have been with him.
Absolutely. What I know from the spirit world, that sometimes when we have a near-death experience, when we come back with extra gifts or we're more fine-tuned or we realize we have psychic abilities, music is one of them as well, that And more recently, there is he's an acquaintance of mine. He's David Bitchfield, and he has written a book, Shine On, and it's about his experience after being dragged under a train for so many meters and being torn apart and having the near-death experience and surviving it. But when he came back, he started to write music. This was only in recent, the last 5 years. He started to write music. He never played an instrument. He never read music. And yet he was able to write the most beautiful music that is now part of symphonies that are being played in England, and it is going global as well. But he was told that his music was something that he had in a previous lifetime, and now he needed to use it, but it is going to be spiritual music. It's going to be divine music, which will enliven in people's souls and resonate with their soul essence as well. So definitely, when you come back with gifts, it's a reactivation, I believe, of imprints that have been there from previous lifetimes that have come to the fore.
On the international line now, let's go to Carl in Kitchener, Canada. Welcome to the show. Hi, Carl.
Hello, God bless you. I seen the movie Beyond and Back, 1978. I think that's a classic. It was a bank robber, an atheist. They had bad experiences. And people like Hitler, Bin Laden, serial mass murder, I think they're stuck. I don't think they'll get another chance. And I think we have to work things out with Jesus, too. It's the Holy Trinity. We meet Jesus, God's presence, the Holy Trinity, when we die. So we got to get it. This is actually a good contemporary Christian song. You get only one shot at this.
What do you think of the possibility that those heinous people he mentioned are stuck?
Good. Hello, Carl, and thank you very much for your question. Carl, from my understanding, from my work with Spirit and from the downloads that I have received, and I know I mentioned it early, there are different spheres. There are different levels in my Father's kingdom. There are many mansions in my Father's kingdom, and even the Aramaic, Melkuta de Shemanai, there is many, many mansions in my Father's kingdom. So as I said earlier, the Osama bin Ladens and the Hitlers, they do not elevate to the higher echelons. They could be stuck, those that don't want to go to the light or progress on their ascension ladder. But for me, from what I understand, we have a loving God. We have an all-encompassing, unconditional loving God. And every soul gets the opportunity for spiritual growth and to correct the wrongdoings of their past. So for me, Carl, I would have to say that God is forgiving, but the soul themselves must decide if they want to do the journey, do the work. There is work to be done on the inner plane. And if they are willing, those that have created these atrocities in the world, they are given the opportunity, and their spirit guide will teach them and show them that this their wrongdoings was absolutely horrendous, and that they need work, so that they need to work and they need to re-educate themselves in the inner planes. And there is a schooling on the inner planes as well. But not like that, Carl, not all souls want to elevate and want to ascend. So that's probably where the word stuck would come into my vocabulary and through my guidance, that some don't want to leave. They're quite happy muddling around in the sphere of darkness rather than elevating to the sphere of illuminating light.
Our first-time caller, Colleen's with us, Brunswick, Georgia. Welcome, Colleen. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, George.
Hi.
I wanted to talk to the girl about two experiences I've had with sudden death. One was after I was shot at.
You were shot?
For my birthday, 40th birthday, I'm going to be 61 in another week.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. This is part of the 911, too, and I hadn't said that. I've been holding on to all this for maybe 20 years or better, actually more than that. And It was happy effing birthday. This is from your ex-husband. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, the shaft of the gun pulled back, and it got my son right in the side of the face.
Oh, my God.
I was still sitting up, and he was 7 years old.
Oh.
That same day, they burned all my furniture. By Sunday, it was a Friday night going into Saturday. By Sunday, there must have been about 28 shots ringing out. Attica Police Department, I went over there, and nobody was even there. Attica Police Department was part of all this, and it's got to do with the border with all the drug trafficking. I didn't know my kids were so involved in it. And
in a big way, I take it, huh?
Very big way, and it still needs to be talked about, so I was open to talk to you about it. And say this over here. And, yes, I did see the light. I dropped, and I was shaking inside of me. I didn't drop out. You couldn't tell from the outside.
What made you come back, Colleen? What made you come back?
Well, wait a minute. When it came to January 13th, 2001, I went into this. I went into the hospital. I dropped over, and I went and see the bright light and everything. I was in ICU. I mean, thereafter I was in emergency. Shaking inside of me, I went to the light, and I knew where I was at. It felt so calm and relaxing. I knew where I was. I didn't see anybody or hear anybody, but it was so enlightening. I didn't really want to go back. And then I did go back in to my own body, and I was still shaken, and I went back up to the light again. And I says, I knew where I was, and I said, if this happened to me, what happened to my son?
Well, that's a good point. We're doing this sake of time. Of course, Muriel, in her particular case, she had everything happen to her.
Hello, George and Colleen. My heart is aching here for you. I didn't get the very first part of your conversation, but from what I understand, you lost your son. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I didn't hear it, George. There was a bit of interference. And what Colleen is actually asking me is, did her son experience the same?
As she did. Right? As she did, yeah.
That she did, yeah. So, Colleen, it's always, always very sad and very tragic when it defies the laws of nature when we lose a son or a daughter or a baby. It defies nature. So what I would say to you is, all people who are drawn into the light, and your son would be no different. He would have been met, even though you said you didn't meet anybody, but you knew you were in this beautiful place. But in your son's case, there was definitely somebody there that escorted him to the other side. Your son was not alone in his passing and in his transitioning into the spirit world. Nobody does the journey alone. There are always angels, there are always spirit guides, or there is a loved one that's already passed that accompanied the soul to the other side. Because that's the beauty of having souls in the afterlife. They have the power to come and to visit us during our dream and sleep state. But they also have the power and the will to come and assist and escort a loved one belonging to them over to the other side. So it's very important to realize also, excuse me, that nobody dies alone, no matter where you are or where people have died. Nobody makes that journey on their own. They are always met by loving presences, by beings of light, by
angels or by a significant other that was very significant in their life. So I have no doubt, Colleen, without a shadow of a doubt, your son was escorted and was greeted by loving presences and brought to the other side.
That's comforting to know. Joe in the Bronx. Hey, Joseph.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Great. Go ahead.
Mariel, I had a question. You mentioned earlier when you were getting into the car and you were on your way to committing suicide, to driving over the cliff. Would you want, because you mentioned it like it was blocked out, you couldn't remember what happened after that. Would you ever want to be able to remember either through hypnosis or some other technique, or is that not important to you?
That is an amazing question. And as I said earlier to George, it was that I was going out the door, but funnily enough, the door that normally would spring open just by a touch on the knob wouldn't open. And that's when my father's face appeared and his hand on the door. The fact that I had 3 hours of my life I did not exist. And I believe, and I've had lots of past life regression treatments, from what I believe, Spirit has said that it's not important for me, because during that time, my soul fragmented. It was my soul fragmented through the trauma, and through the trauma of not just what I was about to do, but from the trauma of many, many years. So my soul fragmented. But what I have been told by Spirit and by one of my guides is that I was held sacred and safely in a capsule, like a time zone, where I was being nourished with undiluted love. I was being healed in God's life, and that then, only hours and hours later, did they allow me to feel my body again, and to, when I defrosted or thawed out, that's when I was shaken and my teeth chattering, and I realized what I was about to do. So I believe that I was held, I was contained in that sacred space so that I could receive healing, I could receive energy and love from the heavens, so that I would be a strong person when I would come around. So it was like coming around from an anesthetic, I suppose. And as I said, the next day, I had the courage to find myself the money, scrambling under beds and pockets, to get on a bus and go to a solicitor. And that was another journey of 6 years. If that makes sense to you?
Sure does. Mariel, we're almost out of time. I want you to tell everybody again where they can get your book, Where After, and your website is linked up at our website at coasttocoastam.com. But where do we get the book again?
Thank you so much, George. And for those listening, it's been my humble pleasure to be here with you. And thank you so much. Where After can be got with 6 books in John Hunt Publishing. It's available on all Amazon sites globally. It's also in all the major bookstores since the 1st of September, and it's on Kindle also.
Super.
So enjoy it, and may it bring comfort to each of you.
Good job. Come back again live in Ireland. It's a long, long way, but technology makes it all happen for us. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.